Welcome back to Walking on Air with Betsy and Sal. Okay, we all watched a little bit of the bobsledding when the Olympics were on television. I admit, I watched maybe more than a little bit. I loved watching the bobsledding. But what I didn't know originally, and then I listened to one of those background stories that they do, was that the pilot of the gold medal USA bobsled team, Steve Holcomb, was actually legally blind for several years before he got a special procedure that was done by Dr. Brian Boxer Walkler. And this procedure actually restored his vision to 20/20. I am fascinated by this story and I can't wait to hear more about it. So joining us is Dr. Brian Boxer Walkler. Hello, Dr. Boxer. How are you?
Hi there. How's everybody?
Well, we're doing just fine. Can you please tell us what condition pilot or Captain Steve Holcomb had?
Steve had a condition called keratoconus, and it's a degenerative condition on the eye that causes the eye to bulge out like a hernia that one might get in the groin, for example. But this occurs on the eye, and it can cause severe vision loss.
And is this something that people get from an injury? Is it something they're born with that develops over time? How does one get this?
One gets this from just natural development. It's not like you were born with it. It occurs in about 1 in 500 people, so millions of people around the world have it. And it is something that develops when people are either maybe in their teens or their 20s, typically, and continues to just get worse, and people can lose vision. It can even interfere with people's ability to read and drive a car and just live a normal life.
And not correctable through glasses. Now, let's talk about vision and what his sight was like. Normal perfect vision is 20/20, and legal blindness is 20/200. And what was Steve Holcomb's vision when you saw him?
His vision was 20/500.
Wait, for those of us who don't speak fluent vision,
which is worse than 20/200.
Right. So what does that mean exactly?
Can you describe what that means?
That means that Steve couldn't even see the big E on the chart, to give you an idea.
Now, and if you can just see the big I on the chart, what is your vision?
That would be 20/200 if you can get that big E.
So, and that means that when you're standing in a fixed position, something that's 20 feet away appears as if it were 200 feet away to a person who would have perfect vision.
Well, you know, it's a little complicated in terms of how those 20 and 2400 measurements are, but if you think of it really in terms of the size of the letter, So if somebody was, you know, standing at, let's say, 400 feet away, they could see, you know, the letter at a certain size, whereas when somebody's vision isn't as good, they have to get much closer to that letter to see it.
Okay, so I'm guessing when you're piloting a bobsled, you kind of want to have good vision.
It's essential. You have to see where you're going. And with Steve's situation is nobody had known. He really hadn't told people about his vision problems to, you know, the degree that they were. And there was a point when he felt in 2007 and he told his coaches, he said, you know, I am just not comfortable with risking the health and safety of my teammates because he's the driver.
Right.
So when they, you know, when you saw in the Olympics, you know, all four of them are just like pushing like mad this massive bobsled down the ice and they all hop in. Do you remember seeing that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the other guys kind of fold down into a fortune cookie position.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
the only one who's looking.
Exactly. So the other three guys behind him, they're just tucked in there, head down. They don't have any clue what's going on. The only person that's really seeing what's going on is Steve, the driver. So Steve's responsible for the three guys behind him. So what happened in June of 2007, Steve came to his coaches and his teammates. He said, you know, my vision has just, you know, they knew he had some vision problems, but weren't really concerned about it. But he sort of said, you know, at this point, I don't feel I can be safe and responsible for the three people behind me anymore, and I need to retire. And he had officially retired back at the end June of 2007.
So are you saying back then he knew of no treatment for keratoconus?
Well, Well, you know, he had gone and seen other doctors. I believe he'd seen 12 other eye surgeons, and they had all been telling him either you need to have a cornea transplant or, you know, something else that just wasn't feasible in terms of massive invasive surgery. And so if he would have had a transplant, that would have meant a one-year recovery approximately per eye, and that would have taken him out of the sport. So either way, he was out of the sport with the conventional treatments.
And with a transplant, you have to take drugs or medication the rest of your life, correct?
You do. You do.
Yeah. So this isn't at all like cataract surgery, where you just, you know, somebody picks you up and you're fine the next day.
Right. I mean, well, when we do cataract surgery, you know, patients the next day are seeing fine. You know, they resume their daily routine. The vision's good. Cornea transplant, completely different animal because you've got swelling, you've got distortions in the transplant itself, you've got stitches. So it's a very prolonged recovery for a transplant.
So let's talk about this. Here is an Olympic athlete not only worried about his deteriorating vision, but if he removes himself from a four-man team, everybody suffers. He's got a team. Presumably there are sponsors. There's probably Olympic trainers and health officials. He visits 12 doctors and nobody has an answer other than you. How is it that they didn't know about you and how did they come to find you?
Well, it's a great question because, and Steve, by the way, he was wearing contact lenses, but then they couldn't even be made strong enough and they really weren't working. And that was also sort of part of the problem. So, I mean, that's also a traditional treatment for keratoconus. So his team doctor and his coaches, you know, first of all said to themselves, you know, Steve is our best driver that we've ever had. So we don't want to let him just retire and let him go. So the USOC, the U.S. Olympic Committee, and the Bobsled and Skeleton Federation said, we need to find someone who can do something because, you know, there's always new technology out there. And his team doctor, Dr. Scott Stoll, was the one who was sort of charged with the objective of finding out what else is out there besides the conventional invasive surgery. And he did a lot of research, and that's how he sort of identified me here in Beverly Hills as somebody who has innovative, cutting-edge treatments for keratoconus. And actually, it's because of Dr. Scott Stoll's work and research, who's also himself a very cutting-edge, you know, innovative person in his own practice. He does internal medicine. But that's how he got Steve to me.
Now, when you say that you're cutting-edge, and when you say that this other doctor found you, did he find you on the internet? And what does it mean to be cutting edge? Are you doing experimental procedures? Are you developing procedures?
Well, I've always been interested in alternatives to invasive surgery, making things less invasive and easier for patients, quicker recovery, less risk. So through my career, I've always been, you know, pioneering, if you will, these innovations. So that's, you know, where the C3R came in, because it was the alternative to the invasive surgery. And, you know, Dr. Stoll's research had, you know, been part on internet and part on the, you know, colleagues that, you know, who were sort of in the know for keratoconus treatments as well. And that's, I think, the combination of how they found me.
So if people, I mean, if you're saying 1 in 500 people are affected by keratoconus, chances are there's some people listening who are affected by it. Are you the only one who is doing this procedure, or are there places around the country people can go?
Well, because of the way that we're doing this, we're doing it in what we call off-label use of the, you know, elements in the procedure. And off-label is very commonly done in medicine. If you've ever been taking or know someone who's taken aspirin to prevent a stroke or heart attack, you take a daily baby aspirin, that's an off-label
right.
use of aspirin, because aspirin is technically FDA-approved for pain control.
Right.
So that's the way we've been doing the C3R procedure as an off-label procedure, which doctors are allowed to do off-label procedures and off-label uses of.
So, so is this like having a tummy tuck that fixes your eyes? Because I'll sign up.
Well, you know, it does help strengthen the cornea. That's what the C3R does. It's a non-surgical application, you know, vitamin applications and light. It's a half an hour procedure. People are sitting in a chair looking at a light, and we do these vitamin applications throughout the period. That's the technique. And that actually strengthens the cornea because the collagen is what's actually weak in keratoconus, and it strengthens and firms up the collagen, and we can get some, you know, partial even reversal of the steepening that the bulging caused.
So you're actually applying the vitamins directly to the cornea and heating it up with this light. So it takes...
Yeah, well, there's actually no heat. It's a very, very, very low dose of light. So there's actually no heat. It's a special type of ultraviolet light that's very, very benign, and we haven't seen any problems from it at all. It's about 50 times weaker than going outside in the sun, to give you an idea.
You know what? This is absolutely fascinating.
I am not done with this discussion.
Well, we're also going to talk when we come back. We're going to ask you to stay with us through a break because you also have a procedure that you do for people who have red eyes, like all the time.
When the whites in their eyes are
right.
red.
And bloodshot. So, yeah, you have a way to actually permanently whiten people's eyes, and we're going to continue to discuss this.
We need a corporate trip to Beverly Hills, is what I hear.
Wait, Dr. Brian Boxer Walkler, stay with us through the break. We're going to talk more about Steve Holcomb, the Olympic athlete who regained his vision, really, literally, through a procedure that Dr. Boxer Walkler did. And also, if those eyes are red, not just from, you know, reading too much and not sleeping.
A Visine alternative.
There you go.
That's what I'm hearing.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back.